Well, good morning, everybody in the room, and good morning to the folks who are watching this morning. May God bless us all as we open the Word of God. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, we read that Jesus describes two contrasting lifestyles. He talks about a lifestyle that's ruined by a thief who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And then he talks about a life fulfilled, a life that he said that he had come to give. He said, "I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it in all of its fullness, all of its abundance." Can I say, friends, this morning, it's God's desire, it's God's plan for us to live this abundant life. God wants us, he has designed us, he has come that we might have life and that we might have it in all of its abundance. The question I want to ask this morning, are we living this abundant life? Are we living this fulfilled life that Jesus spoke about? Many believers would readily admit that they're not. The title of my message this morning is Living in Expectancy of the Fulfillment. Living in expectation of the fulfillment. And perhaps the single most important factor as to why Christians, people who really love the Lord, cannot really say that they're living this life that Jesus said would be abundant, it would be full, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, is because their lives are not being lived with expectation, and they're not being lived with hope. So the question I want to ask every one of us here this morning in the room, and those who are watching this morning, is, are you living your life in expectation of the fulfillment? This is a season when the expectations of millions of children skyrockets. The anticipation of what is coming on the 25th of December has already thrilled and filled their young hearts. They can't wait for the 25th of December. Can you remember what it was like when you was little, when you used to look forward with great anticipation to what was coming on Christmas Day? You know, folks, that expectation and excitement, it really doesn't leave us after we're children. It carries on through our lives. And there are things that excite us in life. There are things that we really look forward to, things that are going to happen. You know, COVID's put a downer, hasn't it, on birthday celebrations. But there are some folks in the fellowship I know have reached significant birthdays this year. And yet, I know they're looking forward to them. Or maybe it's not. But, you know, when you're looking forward to something that's coming, you know, you look forward to starting that new job or moving into that new house. There is an excitement, there is an anticipation that takes place. When a child is on the way and the family really get excited about the birth of that child, there is an expectancy that comes and an excitement that comes looking forward to the day when this newborn child will be brought into the world. They call it expecting. You've heard the words? They're expecting. They're expecting a baby. That expectancy is the looking forward to what is going to come. I'm sure you can recall things in your life, events in your life, where you have lived with the expectation of something being fulfilled. The wedding day, the holiday that you're looking forward to, you know, that big event that you're looking forward to. There, as you think about it, there is an excitement that begins to well up inside. My granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter, she turned 13 this week. She became a teenager. And every time we spoke to her on FaceTime, and Granddad, it's my birthday on December the 4th. She was really looking forward to it. Although she couldn't celebrate it the way she would want to, and we couldn't be down there with her this year, she was looking forward to December the 4th when she turned 13. The question I want to ask us this morning is this. How many of us are living with excitement, expectation, anticipation to the fulfillment of what God is wanting to do in and through our lives? How many of us are excited about the purposes of God and our service for God and what God can do in us and through us? Friends, it should fill us with excitement. When we think about what God can do in our town, in our cities, in our communities, in our nation, in the world, I want to tell you, what God can do should excite us. And what God is wanting to do should really excite us. Make no mistake about it. God loves the world. And he wants people to find and live this life of abundance. This life to the full. At the birth of Jesus, we read of two elderly people. They weren't young people. They were elderly people. The Bible mentions them by name, Simeon and Anna. They were living their lives with tremendous expectancy of what was going to come. They, like many others in Israel at that time, they were waiting for the Messiah to come. They were waiting for the Prince of Peace to be born. Simeon had been told by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Messiah. Anna prophesied about him to those in Jerusalem that one day God's anointed would stand amongst his people. You see, age doesn't really matter. And to everyone who's watching this morning, who's perhaps getting on advanced in years, let me tell you, your heart should still be filled with excitement and expectation of what God is wanting to do in and through you and what he's got in the purposes of God that are going to be worked out through your life. Jesus lived with it. He lived with this expectation of the fulfillment of what the purposes of God were for his life. He came to do the will of God. And the Bible says this in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. He went through what he went through because of the joy that was set before him. When Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration appeared unto him, the Bible says they spoke to him about his accomplishments. I want to tell you, friends, his heart was thrilled and filled with joy as he had his ministry here upon earth. Abraham, the Bible says about Abraham in Hebrews 11 and verse 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham's focus was what was ahead. Jesus saw the bigger picture than that which he was going through. Read of Moses, Hebrews 11, verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt. He feared not the fierceness of the king. For he endured as he that saw him which is invisible. And another version it says, he kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It's important who you fix your eyes on. The Bible says we are to look unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him And if we look unto him, friends, we will have that same excitement and that same expectancy. Simeon, Anna, Abraham, Moses, the Lord himself lived their lives with expectancy of the fulfillment of that which God was going to do. The Apostle Paul, he was able to endure suffering. He was able to go through what he went through because he got a glimpse of that which is eternal. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him." Friends, many people quote that scripture as though it's talking about heaven. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, it hasn't entered into the imagination or the heart of man what God has got prepared for those who love him. Paul is not talking about heaven here, because he goes on to say, "But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit." Paul knew that God had a plan and a purpose for him in this life. That's why he said, "I forget those things which are behind, but I press on to the goal, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul knew he had a destiny to fulfill. Friends, do you know that you've got a destiny to fulfill? That God has placed you here for such a time as this? That we have been called and chosen by God to serve him with all of our hearts, to make a difference to the lives of people around us, to make a difference that when we leave this life, we might be able to say with David that we've served our generation in the will of God. Notice what Paul says to the church at Corinth about the hope that filled his heart, the hope that burned within him. And I've just lost my bookmark, so give me a minute to find it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. And chapter 5, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4. Listen to what Paul says. "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Nothing could move Paul. He was steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of God. Paul's life was lived for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. His earthly life was galvanized by God's purpose for him in this life and also in the life that was to come. Notice what he writes to the church in Corinth. For our light affliction. Boy, when I think of what Paul went through, and he called it light. For our light affliction, he says, is just for a moment. It's working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. He describes the hardships that he went through as light affliction. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, he writes, "For the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us." In Romans 8 verse 28, he writes, "For we know." Do you know this? Do you really know this? "For we know that all things are working together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purposes." Paul lived his life by faith. He lived his life seeing things that at the moment he couldn't see with his natural eye. He couldn't see the things that he was hoping for. In fact, the Bible says, if you hope for something and you can see it, you don't need to hope anymore. But we hope for things that we do not see. And the things that are seen are temporal. But the things that are unseen, they are eternal. And Paul encourages us to live our lives with our affections on things that are above. Set your affections on things that are above, not on things that are upon the earth. Paul fixed his eyes on the eternal. Paul knew, as he lived his life, that for him to live was Christ. He wanted to know nothing else but Christ and him crucified. But he also knew that for him to live was Christ, yes, but to die was gain. To die was gain. Paul knew, friends, that if this earthly house, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, for if this earthly house, this tent that we live in is destroyed, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He writes to the church in Thessalonica, in chapter 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13, he says, to those who are grieving, to those who've lost loved ones, he says this, yes, we grieve. We miss them terribly. But he says this, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. I want to tell you, friends, what a hope we've got. What a hope we've got. Friends, hope filled Paul's life. It filled his heart. Hope is never present. It's always future. It's always looking to something that's going to come. Paul had a hope that filled his life for this life and also for the future. In Romans 8 verse 25 it says, but if we hope for what we do not yet see, we wait patiently for it. He goes on to write to the Hebrew church, to the Hebrews. He says, now faith is the substance of what is hoped for, the evidence of what we can't see. So faith is, there is hope and expectancy filling our hearts and filling our lives for what God is doing and what God is going to do. And faith reaches with that hope, and there's a substance to it. It's not empty. But faith is the substance of what we hope for. Faith to believe that what we are hoping for will materialize. Hallelujah. What is it, friends, that we are hoping for this morning? What are we really living in anticipation with of the fulfillment? What are you expecting? Where is your expectation this morning? What excites us? What is it that fills our affections, our desires, our dreams and our aspirations? Do we really believe that God has prepared beforehand good works that you and I might walk into them? Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that everything is working together for good because we love God? Do we really believe that God has got a future and a plan and a purpose for our lives? If we really believe that, we should be filled with excitement. We should be filled with expectation, with hope for what God is going to do. When a young woman is pregnant with child, she can visibly see the effects of the birth, of what has taken place inside of a body. She can see the child visibly growing. She can feel the child. There is something growing within her. Can I ask, friends, what is growing in our lives? What is growing in your life and mine? What expectancy is being birthed in us? Is there a growing expectancy in our lives that is waiting for the fulfillment of what God is going to do? Are you excited about the things that God has prepared for you to walk into? Are you excited about the plan and the purpose that God has for your life? You see, friends, we can be, the Bible says we've got to set our affections on things that are above and not on things on the earth. And yet we can get excited about worldly things. There can be an anticipation growing, an expectancy of some things that are going to take place. Worldly things, things of this life. Or we can get excited about the plan and the purpose that God has for us. I want to tell you, friends, we as Christians ought to be more excited about what God has got for us and what God is going to do in and through our lives than we can get excited about anything in this world, whether it's a new car or a new house or anything else. Let me tell you, there is an excitement that comes when you know God and you know God has got a plan and a purpose for your life. David said this, Psalm 27, verses 13 to 14. He said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I would have thrown the towel in, he said, unless I had believed to see the goodness of God. His focus, he would have quit it. I would have lost heart. He would have given up if he hadn't believed to see what God was going to do in the land of the living. Hadn't believed to see what God was going to do in his life. He was the man who wrote those words, goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. It was the expectation of what God was going to do that kept David focused, even in the rough times of his life. What about your life and mine? What are we expecting for? What are we believing God to see? Notice he said, the goodness of God in the land of the living. David was talking about what he was expecting God to do when he was alive. Not when he was dead. When he was alive. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. So he was talking about this life. Can I ask this morning, what are we expecting God to do in this life? Luke can't wait for the time we get back together. And neither can I. Can you? When the church comes back together, there is something wonderful about the people of God being together. And I want to tell you, friends, I've missed that more than I can ever begin to tell you. Than through this COVID thing. I've missed the assembling of the people of God. The saints coming together to worship and praise him. I can't wait to see this room packed full again. Can you? Of worshiping people. The Bible says about David, I was glad, very glad, when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord today. Let me tell you, Luke, when we get the go-ahead, people will be running to the house of the Lord. Amen? We realize just how much we've missed it. We're expecting that. It's in the future, but we're hoping for it. And that hope fills our hearts with excitement and anticipation. What about our families? Do you believe God's got a plan for your family? The Bible says about Abraham, God promised Abraham that through his descendants, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That includes my family. Amen? And I'm believing God for my family, my household. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. I'm believing for those in my household who are not walking with God at the moment. I'm believing for the day when they will begin again to walk with God. Hallelujah. Some of you have got unsaved loved ones. I just felt quickened in my spirit last night to say to those who've got unsaved loved ones, your loved ones are coming. Hallelujah. Those loved ones who've rejected the promises and the call of God for so long and given you perhaps a bit of a hard time, let me tell you, they're coming. Keep your eyes on the goal to see them being saved. Amen. God is on the move, you see. And God is working in families, in your family, in my family. I'm believing God to see a demonstration of the power of God. Demonstrations, not just one. I'm believing to see God moving, friends, in ways like we've never, ever seen him move before. I've heard about it. I've read about it. But I want to tell you what I'm going to see is going to surpass everything I have read about and heard about. I believe that God is going to do a great work in the earth. The Word of God tells us that scripture that you know where it says, in the last days, Joel's prophecy, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That scripture has been quickened to me. We've been living in the last days for 2,000 years. And yet he says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Friends, in the last 2,000 years, we haven't seen that scripture yet fulfilled. The Spirit of God has been outpoured. It came on the day of Pentecost. The promise of the Father came. But I want to tell you, it wasn't upon all flesh. But Joel says, in the last days, it will come to pass that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I'm beginning to think, what does it really mean, Lord? That in these last days, we're going to see men and women who never even thought about you being quickened to realize that Jesus is alive. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I don't know exactly what that will look like, but I want to tell you, it looked pretty good. And I'm believing for it because the Bible tells us that's what God is going to do. I'm believing, friends, for signs and wonders to take place, healings and demonstrations, miracles of the power of God. Habakkuk 3 and verse 2 says this, God, revive your work in the midst of the years. And Habakkuk quoted those words when the nation was in a mess and the people were in a mess. He said, we need you, God, to come and revive your work. Friends, we need God to bring revival. We need God to revive his work, to transform our churches. Amen. Friends, I said it 9 months ago at the first preach that we did when we locked down. I said we can't come back the way that we've left. We've got to come back different. And in these months that we've had, we've all should have been drawing nearer and closer to God. And the fire should be burning in our hearts. Hallelujah. Friends, God is wanting to revive his church. He wants to revive his people. He wants us to be red hot. He doesn't want us to be lukewarm or cold. He said he would rather have us cold than lukewarm. He wants us to be red hot, our hearts burning for him. I'm believing God that souls are going to get saved. And the building that we're putting up over the road is not going to be big enough to house the congregation that God is going to bring in. You know, friends, our biggest congregation is still out there. It's still out there. It's coming in, though. God is going to save souls. I really believe it. I'm believing God to see a move of his Spirit like we've never, ever seen it before. For backsliders to get restored. Hallelujah. For the prodigals who are away from God to come back to God. I believe God is wanting to use each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Friends, demonstrations, miracles taking place. Miracles, healings taking place. You know, when I look at Nell, my little granddaughter, boy, with all her limitations, and I believe that God can heal her. The medical side, they can't do anything. There's no cure. But I serve a God who can heal her. And you know something? If she's not healed in this life, I see her walking and dancing and praising God, because there is a life to come where she will be healed, gloriously healed. So I know God will heal her. God will do it. Hallelujah. You might be going through a winter experience. You might be going through a difficult time in your life. But let me tell you, spring is coming. Spring is coming. We should be living in anticipation of what God has promised, the fulfillment of what God has promised. The prophet Habakkuk, again, he said, in a time of desperation in the nation, he said, though the fig tree does not blossom, there's no fruit on the vine, there's no herd in the stall, the vine, the olive is nothing in the olive. He said, everything's in a mess. He said, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, even in the midst of it all. Can I say, friends, the best is yet to be. You know, there's a verse of scripture in Hebrews where it says this. They all died in faith, not having received the promise. Their hearts were filled with hope and expectancy, but they never saw it down here. But they died in faith. They died believing to see it. Let me tell you, they've seen it now. They've seen it now. God having provided something better for them. Hallelujah. They've seen it now. And even if we don't see everything that we are believing God to see, let me tell you, friends, we can die in faith believing it. Amen. Because the day will come when we will see it. Hallelujah. So in this life, David said he would have lost heart unless he'd believed to see what God was going to do. What about the life in the future? What about the future life? You know, friends, you're never going to die. Did you know that? You're never, ever going to die. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that lives and believes in me, or even though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives, that's us, and believes in me, we do, shall never die. Hallelujah. We are never going to die. We are not waiting for eternal life. We've got it. We have it as a present possession right now. We have eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the day is coming. The day is coming. Mark my words. We're going to be part of this. When this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruptible shall put on incorruptible, and we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Let me tell you, friends, we are going to be like Christ. One day we are going to have a glorified body. The day is coming. The day is coming. A day when we are going to be free from sickness, free from pain, free from disease, free from hurt, free from crying and tears, free from sin. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. What a day, friends. Eye has not seen, ear hasn't heard, doesn't even enter into the heart, the imagination of man, what God's got prepared for those who love him. But he has revealed these things to us through his Spirit, through the word of the living God. We know what's coming. We know what's coming, friends. Let me tell you, the best is yet to be. We've got all this in this life, this abundant life, and in the life to come, life everlasting. Glory to God. If we could get a glimpse of what lies ahead, I want to tell you, not one of us would get depressed. Not one of us would get downcast. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. Because God has revealed unto us by his Spirit what he's got prepared for us, and that we might have it more abundantly. For those who are plagued by sickness, long-standing sicknesses, let me tell you, it's not going to last. If God doesn't heal in this life, you'll be healed in the one to come. Paul said it's just a momentary affliction, just a blip, compared to eternity. Hallelujah. Are you living an abundant life? Does hope, faith, and expectancy fill your life? You know, when Jesus was crucified, the disciples had lost heart, lost hope. They were full of despair. All their expectancy, they'd lost that as well. And two of them set out to go to the village of Emmaus, 6 miles from Jerusalem. They were sad. They were depressed. Life was miserable. But as they walked, Jesus drew near. And he opened the scriptures to them. And he spoke of himself and that which is to come. And while he spoke to them, their hearts burned within them. And hope and expectancy was revived. And Jesus wants to do the same for us this morning. Jesus wants to do the same for every one of us in this room. And for those who are watching at home. For those, every one of us, Jesus wants to fill your life. Revive the hope and the expectancy in your life. What are you believing to see? What is it that you're looking to God for? What is it that excites you in the land of the living? Oh, we get excited about things that, let me tell you, friends, it'll not matter two hoots in eternity. Not matter two hoots. That's why Paul says, set your affections on things above. May his hope fill all of our lives. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, let us not grow weary. The ES version says, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Don't cast away your confidence, Paul says. It's got great recompense of reward that after that you've done the will of God, you will receive the promise. God wants me and he wants you to live an abundant life. And we can't live that life if we're not living filled with expectancy and hope of what God is wanting to fulfill in our lives here and now and in eternity. There was a day when Simeon embraced the Messiah, when all his hopes, his expectancy, as he lifted that young child of 8 days old up in the temple, and he looked in the face, looking in the face of God. The Spirit had said to him, you won't die until you see him. And he knew this was him. Anna knew the same time as Simeon came in. Anna came in and spoke about him to all in Israel. Hope fulfilled. Simeon said, Lord, now I can go. Let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen what you said I would see. Hallelujah. Friends, God's got a plan and a purpose for your life and for mine. Here in this life and in the life that is to come. May you get excited. May you be filled with expectancy and hope of all that God is going to do in and through you and all that God's got prepared for you when we leave this life. Amen. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, we thank you this morning for the joy that is ours in knowing you. Thank you, Lord, that Judith read that scripture to us this morning, that it's the joy of the Lord which is our strength. I pray that, Lord, the joy of the Lord will be the strength of each one of us. That this life, this abundant life that you've said we would live, I pray that, Lord, every one of us will live it to the full. Lord, we'll find that it's good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in our lives. Thank you, Lord, as we plot our journey through life. We are so grateful for your goodness and your mercy that has followed us every single day. And for all that you've brought us through, Lord, and all that you've brought us into. And we are here today, still alive in the land of the living. And Lord, we thank you that no matter how many days or months or years we've got left, or before you come, You've got a plan and a purpose for each of us. I pray that, Lord, every one of us will press in like Paul did. I press towards the mark. I pray that, Lord, every one of us will press in to all that you've got for us in this life and in the life to come. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, we're not just talking about a few years here upon earth. We're talking about, Lord, millions and billions of years in the future. Eternity, Lord, we can't comprehend it. It's too wonderful for us that our minds can't take it in. Lord, just like it says in that song Amazing Grace, when we've been there 10,000 years, we've only just begun. Lord, thank you that, Lord, we are yours and you are ours today, and we love you with all of our hearts. We love you. And Lord, we pray that more and more we will get closer to you, closer to your heart. And I pray, oh God, that you will revive your church and your people, that as we enter this Christmas time, Lord, not just the excitement of Christmas will fill our hearts, but the excitement and the expectation of what you are wanting to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.